This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Hi, I'm back. Thanks for coming back with me. I have so many things to tell you that aren't in this episode, hence this weird intro. First and foremost, I moved to New York. For now. We'll see. I might go back. I might go somewhere else. Iceland seems cool, but for now I'm in New York, which means, yes, Marissa is not in the studio. However, she is still editing this, so I will still be calling out her name all the time. Why? Because I love saying it. Marissa! And I hope she adds in something of her right here.
Yo, what's up?
So Marissa's not engineering me in room. For this episode and this episode alone, there's an engineer named Tom. So when you hear a random man come on mic, that's Tom. Moving forward, I don't think probably there will be a producer talking on air, but that could change. It's a journey we're all on together. The second thing I want to tell you is just about changing the format a little bit. I get into this in the episode a teeny bit, but a new thing I'm doing now is that the punch-ups are not happening in episode. The punch-up now is going to go at the very end of the episode. It will send it out because, well, I explain why in the episode. I don't need to tell you why. But anyway, the point is stay tuned to the very end of the episode if you want to hear what I did to this song. And I think you are going to want to hear what I did to this song. And I think that's it. So I guess the next thing I have to say is welcome back to Punch of the Jam!
Punch it!
It's time for
Punch
of the Jam.
Punch
of the Jam.
Punch
of the Jam.
Punch
of the Jam.
Hi! Welcome to the first new episode of Punch of the Jam with me, Miel Bredo. That will probably feel normal eventually to say without a second person. I'm really excited to have Josh Gondelman here with me today. But before I introduce him, I want to say that there's going to be a couple little tweaks to the format, and they will be as follows. Not every episode is going to have a punch-up. Why? Because of two things. One, I want guests to be able to come on and talk about a song that just fucking rips. I don't always want to have to criticize it. So sometimes I feel like if we want to actually analyze an unpunchable jam, what could we, I, them possibly do to it to make it better? So that opens the floodgates for that. And the second thing is that I feel like it would be really fun to lay in the punch-ups after we've recorded for two reasons. Again, one, now it's a surprise. The guest has to listen to their own episode, so I get one more listen. And two, if we stumble upon the correct approach to the punch-up, now we're not, okay, here's some random parody I did last week, right? So anyway, those are main two tweaks. There'll be a couple other ones, but you're going to have to keep fucking listening to find out. Should we introduce the guest? Okay, Josh, listen. Did I change the theme song or the guest intro song? Maybe. Did I decide what it is? No. Do I have a playlist of royalty-free music that happens to be my computer? Yes. Let's try this one. Perfect. Josh. Maybe this isn't correct. Josh, this feels more like you. Oh, this is correct. Okay. You know him. From his brand new book, Nice Try, his excellent stand-up, as a writer, head writer, the writer?
Writer, producer.
As a writer, producer on Desus and Merrow, and previously Last Week Tonight, and maybe even he was your former preschool teacher, it's Josh Gondelman.
Hello, thank you so much for having me, Miel.
Thank you so much for being my first guest on the new format.
Truly my pleasure. Also, I literally this week have been getting Instagram DMs from former preschool students who are now like just old enough to be like people in the world. Like they're like,
they have Instagrams.
They have Instagrams. They're too young for me to like be friends with, but it's very sweet that they've been like, we saw you on the Emmys. It was so cute. It's like truly the cutest thing. And I don't mean that as a humble brag. It like really made my week they sent me like a little picture of like, we used to be your students when we were babies.
What did you respond with?
I was just like, oh my gosh, thank you so much. It's so sweet to hear from you.
I would probably hit him with the like the double tap to like.
Yeah.
Because I feel like when you open the floodgates with a child to a conversation, sometimes you can't control it. Do you know what I mean?
I do. I think they've been pretty respectful. And I think that has been a two-way street so far. And I think like if it goes further, I have to be like, I can't be
your
I'm
friend.
Too old to be your friend. It's like a definitively weird thing. But like it's so cute.
Yeah.
It's so cute. And it's also kids who's like, it's a weird zone because some of their parents are friends with me on Facebook from like when I stopped teaching. So it's like a very funny, I'm like directly in the middle of some of their ages.
Whoa, between the kid and the parent?
Yeah. Or like, I think maybe a little closer to the parents and some and a little closer to the kids and others.
Personally, I feel like that's a great recipe for an existential crisis, but
yeah. Oh yeah.
You're
not
me necessarily.
No, it's, I feel far enough away from it that I'm like, this was another
lifetime. Because you've been a comedian for quite some time now.
Yeah. And I was a comedian while I was teaching.
What?
But I was not, I was not full time, obviously.
But still, the fact that you could compartmentalize the parts of your brain that are required to be with children, much less teaching children.
The not swearing was definitely the hardest compartmentalizing part. But some of it was really fun and good because I could leave preschool and be like, well, now it's time to do like the thing that's for me.
Get them all out. Fuck.
they did that. That's like a very real phenomenon with preschool teachers.
To just go somewhere and swear?
Not to just go, not like a panic room, but like just that as soon as you get a bunch of preschool teachers out of the classroom, they just start drinking and like these fucking kids or like not even these fucking kids, but just like, oh, my fucking week or like, oh, shit, the Red Sox. Like, that's just where I'm from.
These fucking dried out markers don't even smell anymore.
They don't even smell like blueberries, raspberries. It's it's very funny. All the many of the women I used to teach with are so sweet and talented and smart and brilliant and like wonderful educators, patient. And then we would all get outside the classroom and be like, oh, fuck me, guy. And it's just like it's so funny.
Can you write that show? I want to see the dark underbelly of preschool teaching. Mm-hmm. I want to see the teacher's lounge at the preschool.
It'd be very fun.
You have to get drunk off of applesauce and graham crackers.
Yeah.
Ooh, take a nap time.
Right.
Sexy nap time. Ooh, that's the name of the show. You're welcome.
Yeah, it's like Riverdale, but it's just sexy for the teachers. The kids aren't sexy. They're very young. Very gross.
Listen, Josh, I need to know everything there is to know about your relationship with Intergalactic by the Beastie Boys. Or is it Beastie Boys with no the?
I say the Beastie Boys.
The Beastie
Boys. It's not like Eagles.
Stop.
Where people are like, it's Eagles.
That's my dad.
Is that your dad?
We did an episode recently and he corrected me every single time.
I always say the Eagles.
Yeah, because Eagles is hard on my throat.
It's weird.
Eagles.
And I know it's the name of the band, allegedly.
No.
But I feel no need to show them the respect they demand.
Hard veto.
Yeah.
Sorry, Joe.
Joe and the other ones.
Glenn. Glenn 2.
Who's the other guy? There's a dead
Joseph. No, I'm kidding. Joseph. Tom knows for sure.
Beastie Boys know the.
The.
Know the.
Know
the. Tom
knows.
No, Ramones know the. Talking Heads know the.
Beastie Boys say the in songs, though.
They do.
They're the Beastie Boys, not Cheech and Chong.
Right. Yeah, exactly. But if you look at any of their records.
Sure.
It's just Beastie Boys.
It's just Beastie Boys.
Okay.
That makes sense. But I feel like they're less prickly about the than fucking Glenn Frey or whoever.
Yep. Okay. So I feel like based on your sneaker game, you like the Beastie Boys.
I love Beastie Boys. I love Beastie Boys as individuals and I love the Beastie Boys as a collective.
And then how do you feel about Intergalactic specifically?
I love it and I think it's perfect.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Amazing.
I have no complaints. It delivers everything I want out of a Beastie Boys song.
Okay.
The Beastie Boys song.
Sorry, Beastie Boys. Mm-hmm. I have a lot of information here. I have to say, full stop, I don't know a ton about Beastie Boys.
Okay.
I feel like I was a little young. I was born in 89, so I feel like I remember Intergalactic really well.
Well, even that, because I was born in 85, so Intergalactic hit, I think it was 98 with Hello Nasty.
Yeah.
Which was like
the sardines on the cover. Yeah.
The first Beastie Boys record that I was like a formed enough person to be like, hear it on the radio, put it together that I wanted it.
Yes.
Go out and buy it at the store. Cause I was like,
the music video too.
The music video is great. There were several videos from it. They did. There was Body Movin' was a good video.
Oh, yeah. And
it was just like, exactly in my wheelhouse for being like a 13-year-old suburban Jew. It was like, it was exactly what I needed. It like the universe provided.
Expand on that.
The universe provided Hello Nasty for me specifically. It's not a belief that I have, but if someone told me it was true, I'd be like, well, I have further questions, but it all checks out.
Yeah. Hello Nasty.
Yeah. I'm like, thank you.
What a title as well.
So great. Hello, Nasty.
Nasty. Also, like, didn't the cover look like Pablo Honey to you, or was that just me?
It did look a little bit like Pablo Honey, but I was less aware of Radiohead at that point.
Right. I don't know how to explain my musical knowledge and the gaps therein, but for some reason, I'm very familiar with Radiohead, despite being entirely too young for that. And then Beastie Boys just totally slipped my mind.
The color palette, though, is very similar. Also, Beastie Boys, or the Beastie Boys. I'm going to do this the whole time. Someone tweeted, it might have been my friend Matthew Perpetua, about how, like, nobody under 30 thinks about or relates to the Beastie Boys at all. But, like, people, I'm 34, like, my age and older, there's, like, a generation for whom they're so formative.
Yes.
And I'm, like, so fully, I'm a little young to be of that generation, but, like, demographically, it just hit me so perfectly.
Yes.
Just being, like, a little shit. And, and like Jewish and liking rap music.
Bumping, grinding to Brass Monkey.
Yeah. Just all like, so I came to Hello Nasty first because that like,
that was your entry
point. Scattered other things, but this was the record that made me be like, oh, well, we have to go listen to all of it now and go back from the beginning.
Yeah.
License to Ill and Paul's Boutique, which is my favorite.
Couple questions. Girls.
Yeah.
That's Beastie Boys.
That's Beastie Boys.
Okay, that play, I was like a staple at the middle school dance circuit.
Oh, I'm sure.
The one about Santa Claus is a fat, that wasn't them. No, that wasn't them. I feel like in my head it was. It's definitely not.
Is that NoFX?
Oh, brother, I wish I knew.
Santa Claus is a fat.
Dick. We know this song.
Oh, I don't know that one.
Okay.
I know Santa's got a mullet. My friend Dan played that.
There was like a specific genre of music that no longer exists that I feel like Beastie Boys for me fell exactly into, but I'm sure I'm incorrect on that.
No, I feel like their early stuff fits more into it. It's just like, it's
like ironic,
shitty dickhead
songs. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I didn't realize this, but according to Wikipedia, they have sold 26 million records in the US, 50 million worldwide, which makes them the biggest selling rap group
worldwide
since Billboard began recording sales in 91.
Wow.
Can that be true? That feels crazy, right?
I guess. So here's some things that I think feed into that. One is they were big when a ton of records still sold.
Yeah.
Right. In a way that like
before digital.
Drake missed that.
Yeah.
Like Drake doesn't sell albums the way that like the Beastie Boys did or even like 50 Cent did right in the early aughts.
Oh my God. I'm so excited to start beef with Drake and 50 Cent now.
Let's do it. Drake, 50 Cent, you're not the Beastie Boys.
Every day they wake up and tell themselves the same thing.
I'll tell you what, I do. I don't know. 50 Cent and I are pretty different. Drake and I are also pretty different. So maybe they don't.
I will say that when I used to visit New York, I would play that I Get Money in my head every time just to be like, I run New York, ironically. And then the other day on the subway, I actually heard someone playing that.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, come on. We don't listen to this, right? Especially in New York in the subway. It feels a little on the nose.
It's on the nose, right. It's like ham-fisted writing. Someone tweeted at me that they forgot their headphones and they just bumped my audiobook on the subway that way. Just on the 6 train, full speaker blast. And I was like, I've made it in New York. It is the most successful I've ever felt in New York. It's just someone rocking my audiobook on the 6 train.
The new voice of the MTA.
Pissing off everybody. Just be like, get headphones.
On the plus side, the only time you've ever pissed anyone off.
No.
Congratulations.
That's not true. I've been very annoying.
Oh, brother, you're talking to me. So like, you know,
I've never been annoyed by you.
Oh, well, we just met 30 minutes ago.
That's true.
Give it time.
Okay.
The other thing is that they're also one of the, again, according to Wikipedia, I will say, one of the longest lived hip hop acts worldwide with 7 platinum albums between 1986 and 2004.
Wow.
That's a long time.
It's a long time.
I couldn't believe this. And then also, they were one of the first bands who made MP3 downloads available on their website.
Yeah, I remember that.
That's like very cool
of
them.
It's very cool. They're really cool.
They do seem quite cool.
So like we were talking about like girls as like that kind of novelty, semi-ironic, shitty dickhead music. And then they like grew away from that over time and got really into activism of like Tibetan liberation. And after Woodstock 99, Ad Rock was really vocal at, I think it was the MTV.
Sexual assault, right?
Sexual assault at festivals and stuff. Yeah. And it's just like,
and like in 98 saying not all Muslims are terrorists. And I'm like, yeah, you kind of were ahead of the game on that one.
They became like really cool, thoughtful adults. And it's so inspirational.
Yeah.
I just like wrote a thing about them that I think is going to be online soon. But
what perfect timing.
Yeah. But I just like have been thinking a lot about the Beastie Boys. There's like a little chunk about them in the book, but I've been thinking about them a lot. And when you were like, what's a song that you want to talk about? I was like, oh, Intergalactic by the Beastie Boys is like such a deeply formative song for me.
Yeah. And also, like, this is the first New York episode and they're such a New York
band.
They're
so New York.
Can we call them a band? Trio?
I think so. They play instruments at times.
Yeah. And their voices are instruments. I'm moving
sure.
on. It's off of, as you said, 1998's Hello Nasty. It won the Grammy for Best Rap Performance by a Group or Duo. I just need you to know they beat out Outkast, Rosa Parks.
Yeah. Okay. So this, another thing that probably helped them sell so big and so worldwide is like racism.
Yeah.
Like that's why they probably hold some of these records, is just that, like, I think that
White people do it.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I think that's what it is. When white people do it.
Yeah.
I didn't want to like use like a fraught contrast, but it's like when white people do it,
yeah,
because of prejudices, it is like more, it has
accessible.
Been more palatable
yeah.
to people. Outkast, I mean, Rosa Parks by Outkast is another unpunchable jam. It's so
I would never dare.
Fucking good.
Well, and they beat out Ghetto Superstar.
That I can
no,
say.
I'm kidding. I mean, they did, but like, imagine putting that on the same level.
Yeah, but I mean, those Outkast albums were so good.
I mean, iconic in a way that I'm not sure has ever been touched since. And I feel like it's maybe a good thing they stopped making music, because like, how could you?
The Beastie
you
know Boys, I mean? The Beastie Boys and Outkast are like two of the music groups that I am so grateful to have seen live before that became
you did
impossible. I did.
Were you like 15 or something?
I saw them late-ish. I saw Outkast. When I think it was when their Greatest Hits album came out, because they had Killer Mike came out before he was
what?
Like the Killer Mike we know now, and he did his voice on
he was
voice,
Walk the Jewels. Thank you.
he came out and did his verse on The Whole World, which was the original song for
the
Greatest Hits. Yeah,
wow, I haven't thought about that song in a long time.
It still goes, and so I saw them that summer as part of like a festival or like. It wasn't like a real, it wasn't like a Lollapalooza festival. It was just like seven bands in a row. It was like Outkast. And
a
then
bender.
It was a bender.
Mm-hmm.
The Outkast closed and the Roots went on before them. And it was the first time I'd seen the Roots. And I just like,
what a lineup.
It blew my mind out of my head. And then after the Roots went on, a couple came from the back. And this is like, I just finished high school, I think. And a couple came from the front to the back on the way out and were like, we came for the Roots. We have fourth row tickets. Go watch Outkast from the fourth
Stop!
Row. And so we got to see Outkast like close enough where you could see like the movement of Andre 3000's hair as he moved across
what
the stage.
What the fuck is wrong with
so
those
great.
People? Why would you leave before Outkast?
It was so good. And then I saw the Beastie Boys in college. I imagine one of their last tours.
Yeah.
It must have been like, oh, 6 or 5. And they had their openers were Talib Kweli, who is very good.
Yeah.
And also like a semi-ironic dog show that was just like dogs doing tricks like in a circus type atmosphere that they just did because it was like funny.
I didn't know I needed that until right fucking now.
It was so funny. And my friend Dan, who I mentioned already, he was with us. It was like a bunch of my childhood friends. I think I caught my college roommate Zim and Dan's younger brother, Steve, was there. And while the dogs were running around the stage, Steve was just like losing his mind. Like, what the fuck is going on?
Imagine like frying on acid, seeing a bunch of dogs doing tricks. How many breeds, by the way? Do we know? Like less than 10, more than 10.
Yeah, less than 10.
See, so quality over quantity. Yeah, I love the direction of this show.
So it's just like two experiences I'm incredibly grateful for. And their set was great. And then the encore, the lights went down. And like, they're one of the bands that like deserves an encore. And then they appeared in like a balcony playing instruments for the encore. And everyone was just like,
oh! What else can you do?
Yeah.
It was just scream like Eminem in the chorus of Lose It.
I think they did like Sabotage, which
oh
is,
my God!
Yeah, which is just like such a fun song to scream. And like,
I feel like the whole point, I have to admit, Beastie Boys, I fear, and we'll get into it
please
as we play the song, but like, I fear that maybe a little bit have been ruined for me from the fucking improv game that we did at UCB.
Okay.
Are you familiar with this game?
Yes. Yeah. Okay. I do know what you're talking about.
For people who don't know,
yeah,
it's like a freestyle rap game to like try to get you all thinking the same and like...
Here is
you try to guess the rhyme at the end of the line to sing it with the person freestyling, which is now all I hear when I listen to the Beastie Boys.
Here's the thing about the Beastie Boys is that they're not necessarily good rappers, but they are great.
The energy.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's all energy.
It's all vibe.
Yep.
It's like, it's big perfect mood at what it is. Like, it's not, there's not the depth and breadth of like Biggie.
Right. So for it to like win against Rosa Parks, you're kind of like, ah, I don't know that you can compare these things.
Right. But it is a perfect Beastie Boys song.
Quintessential Beastie Boys.
It feels almost like an Avengers movie winning the Best Picture Oscar, where like it's not the best movie, but it is the movie that is like, it is a movie that is like a pure and perfect execution of what it sets out to be.
I would agree with that. I would agree with that completely. A few more notes produced by Mario Calda. I'm going to say this wrong.
Caldada.
Thank you. That's obviously Mario C mm-hmm. in the song, which we'll get to. But I need to tell you, he also produced those three Jack Johnson records.
I did not know that.
Isn't that wild?
That dude must be rich as hell.
Well, I mean, can we just think about the range of production? Yeah. How different an acoustic guitar and a single vocal.
Yeah.
I'm just shaken by the whole thing. Mario C. Wow, brother. You do like to keep it clean.
Mm-hmm.
Also, do you know that there was, I hesitate to say an unreleased version because it is a totally different song, but there is an unreleased song called Intergalactic by the Beastie Boys from like 1993 or 4.
I did not know that.
I have it if you want to hear it.
Yeah.
And then it's pretty much totally different.
That's wild. That sounds so 1993.
Right.
Like that's very like Digable.
I've been downhearted, baby. Yeah, very much.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Very like early The Roots, or just Roots. Very Black Sheep.
Yeah.
The like kind of stand-up bass, like boom, 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 is like very man, that's like so of a time.
It also supposedly samples four songs. I'm not sure this is true, but definitely at least a couple of them are. Check this out. This is Rachmaninoff's Prelude in C sharp minor. However, this is a version from Les Baxter, in which I think this guy released an entire album of Moog versions, like synth versions.
That's pretty fun.
So this is like, I think the phrase they use for the verse right here.
That's fun too.
Isn't that awesome?
Yeah, it's really good.
Like, also, what a cool idea to do a classical song with like a synth.
I love it.
Ugh, I kind of just want to listen to that. Sorry, yeah. The episode's over now. This is what
sorry,
we're doing.
We gotta go listen to this. We're gonna hang out in a haunted house.
Have you seen that tweet? If I'm gonna pay $40 for a haunted house, I better die.
Yeah, it's very good.
Retweet it every October, baby. There's, okay, three other samples, which I'm so unsure about. I'm just going to play a YouTube video that plays them back to back. So thank you to 8 Minutes Upside Down. This is fly
skimmers. Oh, this feel
the License to Ill.
Drop.
And then this is Intergalactic.
Yeah, it's just the drop, I think.
Yep. Sampling themselves. Then this is
what a boss move.
The Jazz Crusaders. Marissa's going to kill me for saying this wrong. L'amour. L'amour. Marissa, use which one's correct. I don't care anymore. A bleu. And I actually can't tell. I think they use the bass line. But can you hear that?
I can't.
I can't hear any bass.
I can't discern.
No, there's nothing here for me. And then this is just one word.
Oh, yeah.
There you go.
And that's the very end. That's like basically the outro.
Right. So like, oh, and also, do you know that the album version has, I think I have it in the clip I grabbed, Biz Markie freestyling at the end?
Yeah, I love it. I was thinking about that on the way over. It's so charming, and it's like, it just kind of like rides out after the duet, and it's just kind of like a meandering freestyle. It's very fun.
I love like it sets the like vibe of the entire song after the song's already over.
Yep. It's like, oh, this is what we're doing. We're just having fun. I love their relationship with Biz Markie. They have on their, The Sounds of Science, Greatest Hits, kind of two disc set. Disc. I'm so fucking old. There's like a live version of Benny and the Jets they did with Biz Markie singing Benny and the Jets. Yeah.
Beastie Boys and Biz Markie covered Benny and the Jets.
Swear to God.
Is there a way to find this now?
I bet we could.
Oh,
you've got a whole
man.
Computer.
I'm going to have Marissa put that in if that's in there. Marissa, do it now.
Oh,
so good. Benny and the Jets. It's just like really great. It's again, it's like all energy, all vibes. It's like Elton John has such a beautiful singing voice, and this is not that. It's just Bismarcky.
Does he jump up the octave? Benny!
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It rules. Him. It's so good. I love it.
With all of that said, should we get into the goddamn song?
Absolutely.
Oh, I'm excited. This fucking, I don't know what to call this. It's so much more than a beat.
Oh, man.
So this was their first album with the turntable guy, right?
Yeah. Geez. They talk about 3MCs and one DJ, right? They have a lot of like scratching on it. Mixmaster Mike, of course.
Thank God for Tom.
Yeah. I'm like, I'm so fried. This has been like the longest 2 weeks of my life.
Yeah, and publicity for a book sounds exhausting.
Publicity, and I did a festival in Vegas for a couple days, and then was at the Emmys on Sunday.
Oh my God.
So I was basically drunk for a week, and and now I'm like paying for it by not having thoughts in my head.
Perfect time though to just like chill and listen to a really laid back, calm Beastie Boys song.
Very chill, no yelling. Very relaxed. they've got the Mixmaster Mike scratching. It's just like, so the opening is so goofy.
Yeah.
It's like robot talk.
I think it might be sampling some movie or something, but I couldn't fact check that thoroughly enough to determine it.
And so it's this robot talk, and then the drums come in and the drums like authentically knock. Like they're good drums, right? So it's like, this is like the central tension of the Beastie Boys, is that it's so silly, but it's also like kind of good.
It like slaps in such a strange way.
Yeah. It like, it's almost a novelty song, but it's not. It's like the very outer fringe of sincere song, or the very sincere fringe of novelty. And when I say that, I mean it without any cruelty or criticism. It's so fun, and there's just like a pure joy to it that is like unsullied by the obligations to be
cool.
Good. Cool is like the perfect thing that it's not.
Yeah.
It's like not cool, but it is cool because
it's not cool.
The coolest guys being so silly.
Could you have told me this maybe in high school? I feel like I would have had a better experience knowing the only thing you need to do to be cool is to try to not be cool.
It's just to commit to the thing.
Yeah. So like Hacky Sack should have been cooler when I did it, but it wasn't. I also need to, for some reason, play this from the top because I don't know what happened. So if we want to hear the whole instrumental, which of course we do.
Silly. Intergalactic, planetary. And then the drums get in and you're like, all right, this is going to actually kind of bang.
And then also this like, is it actually a robot?
I have no idea who's saying that. It could have been a very cool robot. And then, so this is, they're saying another dimension.
Nuh-uh.
I swear to God. And the first time, it took like 3 months, and then somebody I went to school with was like, you know he's saying another dimension. It was like, get the fuck out of here.
Like, you're doing that to me right now?
I'm going to drink bleach that I didn't know that on my own.
You guys were competing to know more about the Beastie Boys.
This is like my whole life is built to this moment.
I'm so glad you could come on the podcast and finally determine yourself as the king.
I love, no, never. I would never presume to be the king.
Sorry. The prince. I misspoke.
Actually, it's just Prince. He just went by Prince.
Okay, well, I didn't know that. I read somewhere it's like heavily vocoded, but I don't know. Is that a vocoder?
No, that's not Prince. Oh, I don't know. I like don't know enough about music production. I'm a very dumb goon, and I just like
strong words.
I love it. I'm just like, I love this. It sounds so fun. It is like, it's not a song that I would put on like a lot of playlists that I was gonna like play everywhere.
Okay, where would you play it?
I'll tell you where it's perfect. If any one of my childhood friends, if it played at their wedding.
Oh, and everyone's a little
every
drunk.
Every friend from childhood would go absolutely shit on the dance floor. Right, rap the whole song humiliatingly.
Or just do what I do and go.
I think I could do it. I feel like I could do almost the whole song from memory still.
Don't say it or I'm going to make you do it.
I don't know that we have the time.
No, we don't.
But it's, like, that's where it's perfect. I feel like a party at my house or like a driving mix would be perfect.
I do feel like you have to be a little bit fucked up in some capacity just because it's a little overplayed to play sober. Yeah.
Or just like, I haven't heard it. It's one of those, because so much Beastie Boys stuff, I feel like if you're going to hear Beasties.
It's not this song.
Yeah,
it's too new.
It's going to be like Fight Fury to Party, No Sleep Till Brooklyn, Girls, like that. Or Sabotage comes up more, I think. That I just like, oh, it's so.
The one that got away.
The one that got away. And it was, I remember it being like the only song that, obviously there were other songs that summer, but I just remember this song being like, if there was a movie about my life that summer when I was like 13, the soundtrack would just be this song 100 times.
Oh, I want to see the montage of like your dorky little ass, like trying to get hot for the party, but like failing miserably. Oh, yeah, and this is the song that's underneath exactly it.
And then we get to the party and it's just like all this. And I'm like, oh, thank God. The one thing I'm prepared for.
Just gently moving your hips and keeping a deadpan the entire fucking time.
Just jaunty shoulders.
Jaunty shoulders was my middle name in high school. Okay, let's get into the words. My question is, what the fuck did he just say?
Who cares?
Who cares? He said, well, now don't you tell me to smile.
You stick around to make it worth your while. Got numbers beyond what you can dial. Maybe it's because I'm so versatile. Style, profile, I said. It always.
We haven't listened to that part yet.
I know. I'm just proving that I know it.
So wait, the first one's Mike D. At which point does it switch to Ad Rock?
I have to hear it. To
know.
They do it so seamlessly.
So just so I understand what the fuck we're talking about here. Who is this song directed at?
It's just like
the general audience, the man. Mm-hmm. Like, do we know? Okay. When he says got numbers beyond what you can dial, does this mean he has a lot of contacts? He has so many friends? Or is this like a big bank account?
Look, if you're coming to the Beastie Boys for literal interpretations, you're coming to the wrong
any
band.
Interpretation.
Yeah. I think it's both. I think it's like, or doing numbers like sales, right? Beyond more than 7 digits.
That's too many digits, frankly. It should be illegal.
Yeah, it should be. You can't sell them any records.
I've never had any fucking idea what the song is about.
It's
I assumed
like
aliens.
About, it's kind of about aliens.
But I think it's more, I'm realizing now, I think he's trying to say we're so big that we're famous in space.
Yeah.
Is that correct?
Which is so great. We're so big that we're famous in space is like such a funny.
But like kind of a missed opportunity to not like hammer that in the verses.
Right.
I want
right.
to hear about like how aliens are fucking to your music. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and they could just have slipped that in. Like, it would literally fit if they're like, we're so big that we're famous in space. Songs you put in the sides of your face. That's your ears.
So this is the punch up I'll lay in later.
Yeah, we're getting
there. We're going to determine it's actually not unpunchable at all.
That might be true. But to me, it's like to try to change a Beastie Boys song would be like to, you know, to put just one more paint stroke on the Mona Lisa.
Fair comparison.
Or like, I guess maybe like a shittier painting that I love. Like,
it would be like
to add another dog to the dogs playing poker. It's like the artist had a vision.
No, but I do feel like we do need that as a society.
Okay.
If there's one thing I think we need to revisit from like historical things.
Another dog playing poker.
Leave the statues in the South. Put another dog in the painting.
Put a dog playing poker next to the Confederate statues. Add a little whimsy.
That's the compromise for the incredibly racist, harmful statues. But if we put a dog next to it, it's funny, right?
It's like kind of funny.
So fucked up.
What if the dog is biting the Confederate soldier?
Just put a bigger person on top of them, smashing them with a hammer. Then we get to keep the statue, but we all feel okay about it. No, it's a bad idea. Please, Marissa, scrub everything I just said.
And scrub the statues. So versatile, style, profile. I says it always makes me back when I hear ooh child. From the hunter never had to run now. I run the marathon to the very last mile. Okay, so I run the marathon to the very last mile. That's like how you run a marathon. It's like, that's like, you could just say, I run a marathon. That's what I love about it. It's so silly. Like, they could have come up with a more coherent boast that rhymes with from the Hudson River out to the Nile, right? But the brag was just like, I finish what I start, which is like a very wholesome brag.
But you know what, though? On the rhyme scheme front, holy shit, they've done 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16.
All on aisle.
On aisle.
Right. Which is like, it's so that's what I mean. It's so silly. And they accomplish it by saying effectively nothing, but it's so.
Yeah, what the fuck? I said it always brings me back when I hear Ooh Child. You said that off mic. You have not said that. And also, is he referencing Ooh Child?
I think so. Okay. Right. He's saying, like, it always brings me back when I hear that.
So he's just quick shout out to that song.
Quick shout out to that song. Moving right along. Anyway, I sell a lot of records. I finish
from
marathons.
From New York to Africa, mm-hmm. and I always finish the marathon.
I always finish it. Or he didn't even say I always finish marathon. He just said, I finish the marathon. That right. might not be always.
Yeah, maybe one time he did.
Yeah.
Also, maybe I'm an asshole, but I just find the idea hysterical of just, like, three men gathered around taking turns singing about nothing.
It's the best.
It kind of rules.
It does rule. I love it. It's like,
and also, like, we're all gonna sing the last word.
Yeah,
it's so funny.
And they did it. It's not just in a recording booth. They would do it live. They would, like, come out in front of people and be like, here's our song about being popular in space.
Yeah, and I don't feel like they took it that seriously. So no. We're all laughing together. I don't feel like I'm making fun of it
I don't think so. And I think, like, when I say the Beastie Boys are not great rappers, I don't think...
They didn't think that either.
Right. But they were...
Pioneers.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and
totally.
Just, like, this is a joy. Who can hear this and not be like, all right, this is fun.
They had a robot doing the robot.
Yeah.
We all needed that.
They would...
It's high art.
The MCA would direct their videos under pseudonyms and, like... I mean, the Sabotage video is, like, one of the funniest things. It's like a 70s crime caper. They're all wearing fake mustaches and sideburns, and they're just, like, running through a condo complex,
like,
or, like,
I feel
a motel.
Like, MTV would have gone a different way without the Beastie Boys. Do you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. their style, I feel like, so set the precedent for MTV.
It's so silly. And, like, it's silly without being, it's, like, goofy. Like a grounded goofy, right?
Oh my God, that's my new Tinder bio.
Grounded goofy. Actually, that's my gritty reboot of the Disney universe. There's, like, a real grounded goofy where he's, like, a single dad.
It's a prequel? Oh, no. Okay, he's grounding.
Yeah.
Max is a kid again.
Yeah.
And Max's little brother, Sam, you gotta watch mm-hmm. to find out about her. Him, I said brother, right? Sam's a fun name for either gender, though. You know. Wait, try it.
It's a unisex name.
I'm moving on.
Okay, so they're still rhyming on aisle. He says guile. You've got gall. You've got
revile.
Gall. Yep, revile. You've got gall. You've got guile is so funny.
What does that mean?
It's just like the nerve of you, but you're pretty slick. But the nerve of you. There's also another song on this album where I think it's Ad-Rock says, I'm the king of boggle.
What?
There is none higher. I gets 11 points off the word quagmire.
Stop.
Which is, like, it's just so silly.
I love it so much.
It's like a full mastery of, like,
dumb rhymes.
Yeah. It's almost like it's like when someone is really, like, a guitar virtuoso is just playing, like, silly scales and stuff.
Yeah.
And they're just like, this is what we're just riffing. It's not that deep. And, like, they are sincere as people and they have, like, values as people, but the music stayed so, like,
young.
So young.
I think that's really special.
It's really
lovely. To not grow out of that.
And they grow up. I mean, there were, like, 6 years, I think, between this and their, like, last album with vocals. And then there was, like, an instrumentals album after that, I believe, if I'm not messing that up.
No one will fact check you.
In the 6 years, I know it's the internet. Who does?
No, they know better.
It's in the 6 years in between, I feel like they aged a lot in terms of maturity. And the next album was To the Five Boroughs, which is just, like, all about how much they love New York, aww, which is still pretty silly and sweet. Like, that the lead single off that was the one that's just called Check It Out. Yeah. And it's also very silly. It's like a continuation of this song. It feels like specifically it's like, hey, we're having a good time. And the other ones are a little more sincere. But, like, man, it's just so fun. And this can't be the entire spectrum of music or even the entire spectrum of hip hop music, obviously.
No.
But, like, I'm so glad that the colors the Beastie Boys paint with are, like, on the palette.
I do feel like they brought a specific color mm-hmm. that I'm sure I'm just ignorant to some other artists that brought a similar shade.
There are.
To me, it is, like, a unique Beastie Boys ochre.
But it is, yeah, it is in the vein of, like, a Biz Markie, right? There's, like, a reason why they get along so well. And they had a really fun song off of Ill Communication called Get It Together with Q-Tip from Tribe Called Quest. That's, like, legitimately one of my favorite songs.
And I feel like they're in the ro- Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I think that's true.
I think that's true.
Don't bother looking it up because I'm just saying
words. I can't imagine that they aren't at this point.
I'm pretty sure they were like the year before he died. I think maybe.
Before Adam Yauch died?
Whichever one died. I don't know their names. I'm sorry.
That's okay. I think I know I got it right.
Okay. I do appreciate they're being so kind about it. I'm correct.
I definitely know I got it right. I got their book. Well, actually, no. My wife got me their book as a gift and it's signed by Mike D and Ad-Rock, which is like
a
deeply cherished possession. She like got a signed copy from her local bookstore and shout out to Books Are Magic. That's the name of the store, not just like an opinion I have.
Although both in a way.
Yeah. I have a t-shirt.
Shout out Books Are Magic. Buy Nice Try from Books Are Magic.
I think there are probably still some signed copies there too. Signed copies of my book there too. But then I got the audiobook because I had a long drive set up for a gig and I put it on and the intro was about how good a friend Adam Yauch was and how he was like such an organizing force behind the group and such a wonderful person to have the privilege of knowing. And I like started tearing up.
You and you telling me, I'm like,
it really got me. And I haven't returned to the book yet because I was like, I'm not ready. It's like 400 pages. If it's all, I know it's not all that, but I was like, if there's like five more pages of this, I'll just be like driving my car off the road crying.
The really fun thing about death is that it never stops being sad.
Yep. It never stops being sad and you never stop being dead.
No. Unfortunately, science has not found a way.
Well, I would say fortunately in many respects.
I feel like this is actually a great opportunity to go to a quick ad break so I can squeeze out a hot tear. And we're back. Thank you. I got a quick chance to cry. It was fine. You want a battle, go into now. Oh my God. Coming from your anus to TikTok. Go
ahead, put my rhymes on track. You won't be too exile. Okay, so they do start to repeat syllables, right? Like...
Nile
is the same as denial.
I mean, aisle, exile, guile. It's always I-L-E,
but
right?
I mean, he'd said, I feel like it's a little cheating to use, he said style twice. He did style profile. And then they went, coming from Uranus to check my styles. They repeated style.
I mean, 16, like I'll give him one.
Yeah.
Only 15.
It's so silly. It's like, it's almost like a writing exercise that they were like, we'll put this on record.
Coming from Uranus.
To check my style. They could be coming from anywhere.
So is that a double entendre of the space thing and also you're coming out of your own butt?
Gotta be.
I love a shout out to a butthole in this rap
levels,
song.
Layers.
Again, you're naming my memoir. Stop. Go ahead, put my rhymes on trial, cast you off into exile. So he's like begging someone to rap battle him.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They want to fucking... Which I don't know if it would go well.
I just feel like... I don't know. Perhaps in the rap battle format, this isn't going to work the same way.
No.
Because I think rap battle like are less about energy and more about actual rhymes.
Yeah, punchlines and demoralizing people. They're not super demoralizing. They do have some...
I saw that documentary, 8 Mile.
No, I mean the Beastie Boys.
Oh.
They weren't in that.
Although doesn't Eminem cite them as like a constant inspiration reference?
He might.
I think I heard Eminem and Korn both do.
Korn? Really? Interesting.
Can you hear Beastie Boys?
That's immediately where I went with Korn too. It's just that breakdown from Freak on a Leash. Like,
I'm like, oh, this is so MC Ad-Rock. Fuck, I don't know their names.
That's okay.
Mike D.
Mike D's one. And then Ad-Rock and MCA.
MCA is the one I was trying to say. Mm-hmm. I just needed one more letter.
You like blended them very seamlessly into.
Thank you. I did
another.
Start looking at the Genius page. Please don't tell anyone.
I would never.
And now I go back to the chorus. Doesn't that sound like a little voice being like, ah? Yeah. Oh my God.
I like my sugar with coffee and cream. Okay, so fully reverse engineered to make the rhyme happen. It's just like, what's sillier than that? There's like no reason to bring up your coffee preferences. And it's just like, it's honestly to say if it had rhymed like, I like my coffee with cream and sugar, something, 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 you know, booger, whatever. If that had been the rhyme, or I like my coffee with sugar and cream, time to plot and scheme, whatever. To say I like my sugar with coffee and cream is like such an intentional way to be like, this is nonsense, right?
But also like Genius says,
yeah.
The line previously is Jazz and AWOL, that's our team, mm-hmm. referencing AWOL suicidal tendencies. And Jazz, who is a guitar tech who tours with them.
Mm-hmm. One thing I love about the Beastie Boys is they will mention their friends in songs.
Right, as if we all know them.
Yeah, which I love. It's like a very... It's almost like the Springsteen extended universe, but those are like made up people.
The E Street Band.
Yeah, but I mean, he'll mention the band, right? He'll talk about like Big Man joining the band and stuff. But then there's like the kind of cosmology of characters.
Marvel universe.
Yeah, of Springsteen mm-hmm. songs. Like the Hold Steady kind of took that on, and they do a very similar thing of like there's this cast of characters. The Beastie Boys just rap about their friends as if like they're characters in these songs or like people that you know. Like they'll mention like their roadies and fixers and stuff and managers. It's
but
very
like, if
funny.
If you build it, they will come in yeah. that regard. You yes. say it enough, now people do know them.
I'm very charmed by the intimacy of just like talking about the people that are unseen.
Yeah. And also, like, step inside the party, disrupt the whole scene. Okay.
That is pretty cool.
Quick pivot from, like, here's our friends, mm-hmm. like, and a one, and two. Now, back to me.
I went to the party,
and I'm a disruptor. Yeah. Synergy. Circle back.
No.
Gonna set up a deck.
This is pre-Silicon Valley disrupt. This is just back when it was causing a ruckus.
Right. And the person on Genius, let's see if I can... Nope. Four contributors. They say that the sugar with coffee and cream yeah. is an example of them disrupting.
Do they really say that?
Yep. How he mostly wants sugar in his mug. He's adding the coffee and cream, unlike how it would normally be adding the sugar. And no. I'm like, well, they do have also 16 words to rhyme with E.
Yeah. So maybe like cream. Maybe you just need cream. But you could also have said, I like my coffee with sugar and cream.
I think that they were trying to be clever. And I will say that is one of the lines I actually can sing along to. When it's I'm great. Going,
I like my sugar with coffee and cream. Yeah.
I feel like that's an iconic one.
It's yeah. And it's like so, it's so distinct, right? It jumps out
it's
at
upsetting.
You. It's upsetting.
Keep it going, full steam. Sweet to be, sour to nice to be. Me. When I'm a tough guy style, I'm not too keen. Try to change the world, I'm a plot and scheme.
Yep, very good.
It's really growing on me the longer they do it.
Yeah, talking about just being nice.
Just being nice. This must be so relatable to you.
Very sweet.
The nicest man in comedy.
Well, that is it is an overstatement, but it's very sweet.
Can I please read what Genius says about the first line of this verse?
Yeah.
Well, I gotta keep it going full steam. Mm-hmm. I don't feel like that needs to be one of the annotated lines.
Nope.
But it is, and they say steam engines operate by boiling water to transform heat into mechanical energy.
That is not even necessary to understand the line. Like, you don't have to know how a steam engine works to know that full steam is a steam engine.
There's an image, and you do need to know the context for it, because the line preceding the image says, but did you know that the earliest steam engines existed back in the same century as Augustus?
Get out of here. This is these like Genius annotations are like looking at sand and trying to make like a magic eye picture emerge.
I also
from
think
it.
To me, it sounds so much like a child that's trying to sound smart but doesn't know what they're actually saying. Like,
did you know that steam powers a steam engine? I don't know why that was just Adam Sandler. A steam engine.
I mean, it could be Adam Sandler from three contributing accounts on Genius.
I would. Like, nothing would make me happier. Nothing would make me happier as like just an ancillary knowledge, as knowing that Adam Sandler sock puppet annotates Beastie Boys songs with science facts.
He speaks out loud as he does it. I mean, it even is like, amazingly enough, the Library of Alexandria had a primitive steam engine. Ingenuity! Exclamation point.
It's like one of the book reports from Billy Madison.
It really is. Somebody was like, this is 1,000-word minimum. I have 200 words.
Fuck. Yeah. How narrow how wide can we make these margins?
Too sweet to be sour. Too nice to be. I love mean. How he dropped. I don't think even MCA said mean himself on that line.
Yeah.
Well, on the tough guy style, I'm not too keen. Josh, this is literally you. I'm not surprised you chose this song.
I love it.
Try to change the world. I will plot and scheme.
Okay, so that's
like
the
them
message.
Being like, we're gonna... be disruptors of the patriarchy. Like,
sure.
What? I mean, it feels like they were on the right side early.
I think so.
I hope that's true. It feels true.
Yep.
And then Mike D with a song.
Mario C, who of the aforementioned Mario C.
Jack Johnson's own Mario C.
The titular Mario C.
And also the beat does a really cool thing here.
Yeah, it's great.
A minute 36 in, they're like, we know you're tired of this.
We're going to switch this shit up.
A quick little B section.
Mario C likes to keep it clean. Wanna shine like gay, so deep. Keep on rapping,
I never noticed they pan back and forth.
Yeah.
And now we get back to Ad Rock one final time before our second chorus, third chorus. This song a little bit feels 1,000 years long to me, but like, I don't hate it.
Yeah.
It's 1,000 years I would happily spend again.
It's 1,000 years of solitude. That's only 100 years. Right, that's fucking real fun to shout.
We all know that part.
Yeah.
And then also that little baby crying again. I also just love a verse that like forces you into the robot.
Yeah. This song is a little bit like eating a big bowl of candy for breakfast.
How do you know my diet? Did you watch me? He said, now when it comes to Evie, envy y'all is green. It really feels like an improv game. You want to play with me? Okay. Jealous of the rhyme and the rhyme.
Routines.
Another dimension, new galaxy. Intergalactic planetary. Now, when it comes to envy y'all is green, jealous of the rhyme and the rhyme routine. That's actually
true.
That
makes sense. That makes
I do agree with that one.
You're jealous of their rhymes and their rhyme routines.
So many lines on the same rhyme. Mm-hmm. They didn't have to do that.
They didn't have to do that.
And they did it for us.
They did it for us.
Okay, doesn't that chorus change again here? Yep. Baby talks again.
Kick off your shoes and relax your socks.
Here we go. Oh, every rhyme on this line, I'm like, and when does the beat drop? And when does the beat drop?
Yeah.
Again, as a very casual non-listener, I'm like, the one line I can sing along to, waiting for it any time here. Mm-hmm. What did he actually say? We're from the family tree of old school hip-hop. They formed in 1979, so that feels true to me. Mm-hmm. But I have
idea. They were kind of a hardcore band at first.
Right. Didn't they come from like punk outfits originally? Mm-hmm. That kind of makes sense to me. But it says on Genius, and again, I don't fucking trust Genius at all, but just for fun, they emerged around the same time as such legends like LL Cool J.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Do we call LL Cool J a legend?
I think so.
We do. We just ignore the deepest, bluest hat as like a shark's fin thing.
You gotta.
Okay.
They can't all be home runs. Sometimes they gotta be shark's fins.
And also, Mama said knock you out. We're just like, that was a cool thing.
It kind of was cool.
Is it cool in 2019?
No.
I don't know. I'm just asking questions.
That's fair.
It's really just like, I love the creativity that comes from so desperately trying to rhyme.
It's right. You put yourself in a box with not to rhyme with all these. And then you like figure out what the parameters are.
This box. They don't even use box. You just came up with a new one. Out of 16 rhymes, you found a new one.
I kind of think of myself as the fourth Beastie Boy.
Okay, here we go for the famous one. I'm so excited. I can finally sing along. I am known to do the what? What? I'm so known when the flints don't pop. Pop. Jammy D get biz on the crop. Crop. Beatsy boys known to let the beat. Drop. Doesn't it sound like he burped a little bit?
It does sound like he burped a little. It does. And that's sampling... themselves from a different song. They could have just said it again.
Yep.
But they didn't.
I think that's a really cool thing to do in a song.
It's very
cool.
Remember
when we did this before?
Yeah. She's like, hey, remember us from then, but now?
That was the craziest part to me about the Baby Got Back episode is that, like, I think in multiple samples in that song are of previous Sir Mix-a-Lot songs.
That's incredible. And, like, right? Nobody even knew that.
No, because, like, the other songs never became as famous.
Yeah.
So, like, do it.
That's so funny. I didn't realize that.
In large part, I feel like that's what this podcast is trying to do, is to be like, hey, there's a lot of good shit already made. You know, we don't need to make new stuff. We can just remake songs like we remake movies.
Yeah.
Why not?
I agree. Graffiti, my name was Slop. And here's the beat changing again. There's like, except from the table when
I
stop to
chop. I'm all on my Jack DJ era. I didn't even notice the beat change there. It was so subtle.
There's that beat, the bass.
That must be the bass from the
before.
The blues, what's it called? That's probably the reference then.
And it sounds like the bass from the early version from the 90s too.
Yeah.
I wonder if that also stayed or, you know, just in this little form.
Boom, boom, boom. Okay.
That's the one.
Oh, I feel like we really solved a mystery with that. That was confusing the shit out of me.
Yeah.
Okay, so what the fuck did he say? Now, when I wrote Graffiti...
My name was Slop.
Is that true or is he just making shit up?
I don't know.
He was a graffiti artist by the name of Slop.
I believe it.
Can you think of Slop and not immediately think of Charlotte's Web, or is that a me thing?
Oh, yeah. It's right there.
See, wait!
When I graffiti, my name was Some Pig.
I'm going to swim with them if it's the last thing I do.
If my rap's soup, my beats is stock. That's a fun one.
Can we unpack that?
Yes, certainly.
What?
So if the rap music is soup, the beats are the stock that is...
Hold it all together.
Yeah.
The base of the rap. Mm-hmm. Steps from the table when I start to chop. Huh?
That one I'm not sure about. Is there an annotation?
Chopping the beat like a turntable.
Oh, got it.
Okay.
Oh, step from the table, the turntable.
Get the fuck away from me when I'm working.
Yep.
God, I wish I had a shirt that said that.
Get the fuck away from me when I'm working.
Truly, get the fuck away from me all the time. I don't like people stand too close to me. Mm-hmm. The subway's an adjustment. Yep. I'm kidding. What am I saying?
You don't have to. That can be real.
No. I love standing close to people.
Touch me, please. One of the things I love about New York City is just like not having a sense of personal boundaries.
It actually is like kind of humanizing in a way. I'm so used to having a whole car to myself. Do you know what I mean?
And now you don't even have the space of your human body.
I saw a lady on the subway, still undetermined if she knew the man behind her, but she was like gently rubbing her ass into him. She was very fucked up on something.
Sure.
And I don't think she knew him, but he was like kind of letting her do it in like a very polite way. Like he was not into it.
Right.
He was just like, ma'am. And she was like, oh, my bad. And then she just went right back to bump and grinding him.
There's like a lot of living in New York that's just like, well, I guess this is happening now.
A man fell asleep on me 3 times on the same subway ride. And I really went back and forth on what to do here. And then finally was like, you know what? He should know better. And gave him the firm elbow and the tricep.
Fair.
And then he did it again and I left. Anyway, I'm the Lumberjack DJ at Rock.
Yep.
Okay, now we get to the final verse before the last chorus and we're done with the song.
Yeah.
That bass, yeah. You in my wok. You need to start shaking in your fingers, pop. Like a bitch when the neck of Mr. Spock. Like, what a way to end it.
I'll stir fry you in my wok is like so goofy.
The line before also, if you try to knock me, you'll get mocked.
Yeah, very light. Like, look, don't try to knock me because you're in for some teasing.
Also, like, you could have ended that line with knock. But instead, they were mocked. Mm-hmm. My friends are going to come for you if you make fun of me. Yeah. And then I'll stir fry you in my wok.
And then I'll touch your neck.
Like Mr. Spock.
Yeah, very goofy reference.
Let's play the last chorus out. This is a whole minute.
There's a lot that happens after. It like rides out for a while.
They knew this was so good. They're like, we're just going to play it for 4 minutes.
Grooves. It's so silly.
I feel like you can't listen to this sober, though, for some reason.
Yeah, it is much better drunk. And then it goes up.
There's like people cheering. What are they singing again?
Another dimension.
Another dimension. I really can't hear it.
And then this is the duet sample.
And now we go to Bismarck.
Yeah.
By the name of the king, it's rock. Super educated. I'm smarter than Spock. You ever tell me you will agree? Ain't no brother like the K-I-D-D. You know what I mean? Yeah. I'm telling you, with the echo, I'm telling you.
Like, what a fun little, like, here we are hanging out. And you get to leave on the record. Too.
Yeah. That's
also
so fun.
Why does Bismarck permanently sound like he has the worst cold of all time?
I don't know. Our dog is in part named after Bismarck. Our dog's name is Busy. She's a pug. Oh. And when we got her, she was very anxious all the time and she sounded like she was beatboxing.
That's my impression of a pug. Thank you.
It's very good. That's exactly what she sounds like.
Okay, so I need to ask you now.
Yes.
Two questions. This is part of the show where I turn into James Lipton. If you go to the pearly gates. No, I wish. I have
4 years from now. The gall and the guile.
I wanted to know if you feel differently about the song after examining it. Or if it just reaffirmed the ways in which you already felt.
It mostly reaffirmed the ways in which I already felt because I felt very aware of its deficiencies, which I think the imperfections are what make it so beautiful.
So you wouldn't change it, which is my follow-up question.
I guess the one thing that I was surprised by your analysis of it, which I guess I can see if I'm trying to be objective, is that it is a touch long. So maybe combine two of the verses into one long verse and lose one of the choruses.
Yeah.
Although, because the verses aren't very long.
Yeah.
So you can combine them and I don't think people would be like, this verse is dragging. I think they would be like, ooh, we got the aisles and the what's the other
syllable?
The aisles and the oxes.
And the eames.
And the eames.
Or
and
eames.
The eames and the eames. And so I think maybe I would smoosh those together. But the problem is the chorus is definitely the best part, right?
Yep.
That's the part that like,
that poor baby. Someone needs to tend to them.
Yeah. Someone nurse that baby.
That's another thing I would change. Somebody takes care of the baby.
Yeah. I would.
So a little bit shorter, maybe.
A little bit shorter.
Okay. That's the only thing you'd change or? Just curious, because, you know, I have to determine if this is worth punching up or not.
I think that would be my... Oh, that they would explicitly mention how popular they are in space.
Okay. I mean, I guess we'll see what I do. Now you're going to have to listen to the episode to find out.
Of course I'll listen to the episode to find out. I'll just listen to the parts you say, though. I'll just fast forward through me.
Marissa, is there a way to edit Josh out of the entire podcast? That'd be so great. Me and Tom only. Sorry.
Featuring Tom. Like the, it's like the Biz Markie voice. Tom freestyles at the end. And at the beginning tells us that it's Beastie Boys.
With all of that said, should we get to Unpunchable Jams?
You can't punch this.
Josh?
Yeah.
As the esteemed guest of honor?
Yeah.
What song do you find to be too perfect to change?
I've been thinking a lot. It's like still new pornographer's weather in New York, which is like,
I love this way you're quantifying time.
And so that's how I think about the, like, but it's not too hot, but it's real. It's like very pleasant outside, a little warm, short sleeves.
It's very like meet cute weather.
Meet cute weather for sure. On the spot, I would say All for Swinging You Around by the New Pornographers. It's one of the Nico K songs.
I don't think I know that song.
Oh, it's so good.
I'm so excited to listen to it.
It's very fun. And they have a new album, a new record out. I mean, the day of the recording, they have a new album that came out.
Oh my God, it's Perfect Kismet.
Yeah, that's why. That's probably why they were top of mind.
For me, I also want to do an artist and a song that came out recently, but I'm choosing it because the backstory of the song is that they invented a really insane sample from like an old radio turning on and like a piece of cardboard being slid on a table. And they made the whole song around that sample and it took them like 5 years.
What song is this?
It's I Me off the new Bon Iver record.
Ooh.
On a bread morning, I'm with it. I stood a little while with it. And man, you have to know. No way.
The process behind the song, I can't understand at all how you spend 5 years on a song. Yeah. To me, I'm like, you give up on the song at that point. Yeah. But they didn't. And I actually think this is one of the rare examples where like they eventually figured it out
they
and it's better
it.
For that. You know what I mean? Because I feel like very rarely do you like have the best take after 20 takes.
Yep.
Usually it's kind of like diminishing returns.
Yeah.
No, this song, it is truly unique to me. I have really not heard a song like
this. I've got to listen to it.
I really recommend it. I think it's perfect fall weather. And I actually think the album, I would say like 70% of it really works for me. Just cool. As like a fall soundtrack if you're into that.
I've kind of fallen off with Bon Iver over the last few years. But
the last record was a little inaccessible, I think. This one is still not as accessible as the first two for me. However, far more than the last one.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
Good for my purposes. Mm-hmm. I say this frequently to describe my taste in things, but like, I just want everything to be like incredibly accessible. I'm like, yeah. I have very simple taste. I like want everything to be the Born to Run of that thing.
Yeah. I hear what you're saying. I find that like, as a listener, I fall into the same trap, but then as like a creator, I'm like, this is fucking boring, isn't
it? Yeah. Well, I'm also like, as a comedian, I think I'm very like overwritten and obscure and snarky, but like my taste in things is like, Maris and I have been watching Superstore from the beginning.
Yeah.
And it's like it's like a workplace comedy.
Yeah.
It's, it feels a lot like an update version of The Office.
I feel the same way about Schitt's Creek.
Yeah.
I'm like, this is just great for what it is.
It's so simple
and
perfect. Like it's just a beautifully executed version of a very simple and straightforward premise. And I just want that. Just like put all the bells and whistles on it, trick it out. I love
it. Yeah, it's a thing you come back to, I feel like.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, thank you so much for coming on, Josh, and being my first New York guest.
Thank you for having me. I'm so honored.
What do you want to promote?
Oh my gosh. Please read my book and buy it.
Or
buy
listen.
It first. Or listen to it. Yeah. It's you can get it the audiobook, wherever audiobooks are sold. You can get the hard copy paperback. You can read it on an e-reader, such as a Kindle.
Everywhere.
It's everywhere. Like, look, someone told me that it's at the San Francisco Airport bookstore.
Oh my God, that's so exciting. You're at SFO. You've made it, baby. Yeah, people can read it in the yoga room.
Airport bookstore is like very flattering. They're like,
Hudson?
I think
Hudson
it's a Hudson
News.
Hudson News. And watch Jesus and Marrow on Showtime when we're back October 14th.
Oh my God, I saw the preview. It looks so fucking good. I can't believe you got all those guests.
Oh, it's going to be real fun. They're so fun. The guests, there's like some really fun interviews and stuff lined up and like some fun sketches already shot. I'm really psyched.
Oh, it looks like such a fun show to work on and it's even really a more fun show to watch.
Thank you. I hope it's fun to watch. That's like, again, that's like the vibe I've been working in lately. It's just like trying to make things that feel... Or trying to, you know, I don't make this myself, obviously, like I'm trying to
work on.
Be a part of mm-hmm. things and when I make things on my own that are like fun and pleasant and like, if not a, not like an ignorance of the world, but like a comfortable place to enjoy within the horrible world that we live in.
I can deeply relate to that. And for what it's worth, your reach has now gone to my father, who's, I wouldn't say like a pop culture relevant person mm-hmm. who texted me just like 2 weeks ago to be like, hey, while you're in New York, you should have Jesus and Merrill on the show. So like he's watching as a 70-year-old man in Washington State. You're doing something right.
They're like legitimately the greatest guests on anything. They're so funny all the time. They like play so well with every format. Like them going on late night, they're like ideal late night guests. They're great podcast guests.
They're going to go so fucking far.
I hope
so. I'm so excited to see it.
I really.
You love to see it.
Love to see it.
Well, thanks again for coming on. One quick note to people listening. As of, I think, yesterday when this airs, the Patreon has been fully relaunched with brand new perks. There's going to be, I'm really excited about this one. I'm very proud of myself for thinking of it.
Yeah.
They're going to get to know the song we're going to punch up before anyone else.
Ooh.
So that they can comment their stories and experiences with it. And then I'm going to read my favorite ones on every episode.
I love that.
Right? Because people have such great stories about like, I lost my virginity to that song. Mm-hmm. Or like,
Intergalactic by the Beastie Boys.
I mean, can you imagine? Someone's probably done it.
Yeah, definitely someone's done it.
So anyway, check out the Patreon if you want to be a part of it. Otherwise, thank you for listening and I'll see you next week. Bye bye.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And now for world premiere of the
Intergalactic Punch Up.
Houston, we see you on the steerable, over.
Hi, yep, we see you as well, and also a UFO. We see a UFO. We're quickly approaching. Would love some guidance here. Anytime.
Roger, how does it look?
It looks like a UFO. They're touching.
Roger.
No, they're touching the ship. They're getting on the ship. Hello, hi, bienvenue. Guten Tag. Hello. They appear to come in peace. Can I get you guys some water there? They have a boombox. They have human technology. Hi.
Roger.
Yes, human technology. They're pressing play. It's the Beastie Boys. They seem to really like the Beastie Boys. They're dancing. They're all dancing. They all look different. There's so many different types of aliens. They're gathered around in a circle. They're high-fiving. One is dabbing. I don't know how they know to dab. They're pretending to be dead now. They're all laying on the floor. They jumped up. They're circling around. They're pulling something out. It appears to be a microphone.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.